from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Turn it up Tuesday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. A little mountain for you, Mississippi Queen. Ravens back at it today. Training camp day 3. Creeping closer to the preseason opener. It's Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Joining us now as he does every Tuesday at 11 o'clock from USA Today. It's the Ravens Wire. He is Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Feeling good, guys. Football back in the air. Obviously still a couple weeks to go to the preseason, then we got the regular season, but training camp is back and it feels good.
How much better are the Ravens in the defensive backfield today than they were 7 days ago?
It is night and day. I know we've talked about it a bunch over these last couple of months, guys, but adding Eddie Jackson is a big move for them. And even just bringing back Darrell Worley too, it's veteran depth in their secondary, especially at the safety position. You know, I think Darius Washington has the potential to be a quality player with more reps and he stays healthy. But going into the season with him, Sanusi Kane, Bo Braid, would have been a bit of a risk. Now you have Eddie Jackson, who you can play. You can play him as that Geno Stone replacement. And if, you know, you hope nothing happens injury-wise to any of these guys, but if one of those players were to go down, particularly Marcus Williams, I think you're able to plug him in. You just feel a lot more confident. And so now you have, you know, a safety trio of Kyle Hamilton, Marcus Williams, Eddie Jackson. You have Darrell Worley as a vet in that mix now, too, who can play both corner and safety, although he's more of a safety at this point in his career. But to me, it just feels like this Ravens team is so deep in the secondary. Now, we know over the course of their franchise history, they've dealt with a bunch of secondary injuries. So hopefully that's different this season, but at least they're starting off this year with a ton of depth, both at corner and at safety.
Hey, Kevin, how comfortable would you be if Falele is starting guard?
I think to me, it just depends. I could see him playing it. Now, I think if it were to be, if he wins one of those jobs, I'd probably see where he's at left guard, and then I think he'd probably have to beat out Cleveland for the right guard spot. And not out of the realm of possibility, because, again, if it's not Cleveland, I mean, who are the other options? I guess it's Josh Jones.
Sala.
Yeah, some of those guys, too. But to me, I think Rosengarten is, although he hasn't necessarily won the job yet, I think he kind of has won the job. So to me, I think that Falele is a really he's an interesting option there. Obviously, he's a huge guy, can get out a little bit, but I think he's been up and down over the course of his career. I don't know if a change to guard would help. Now, in terms of the backup tackle spot, that'd be the interesting part to me, just in terms of who would fill that in. I mean, it could be Josh Jones, possibly. You know, Sala also could maybe do that. McCary would be the guy, too. But it's something I hadn't really thought about, so I actually like that idea a little bit.
How confident are you that Rosengarten could line up day one and be the starter? I'm just not sure that he's strong enough yet.
Yeah, I think there will be some level of fluctuation. I mean, obviously we know the athleticism is there, the foot speed and the pass blocking, but you're right. In terms of just his overall strength, I do expect him to struggle a bit, even if it is just during his rookie season with some of the stronger level pass rushers in today's game. And look, I mean, this team has to go up against guys like TJ Watt, Myles Garrett twice a year. That is no easy task. So against those types of players, you know, he can maybe hold his own, but I think it will probably take a year, like kind of what we talked about with Nate Wiggins in an NFL offseason strength and conditioning program. I know the frame also was a little worrying, but to me, I think he's probably your best option at this point, unless Daniel Falele comes in and shows you that, yes, he had this, you know, revolutionary offseason and he's the guy, which could happen. It could happen, especially once the pads come on and we start to see what these offensive linemen can do. But I definitely do have Rosengarten penciled in right now. But, of course, nothing is set in stone, and that can change.
Now, was yesterday's practice – that I said it was the best I've seen Bateman since he's been a Raven. Is that the best you've seen him yesterday?
By all accounts, he looked incredible. And I think, to me, the best part was, especially when, you know, you saw the Ravens post those highlights after the fact and you saw the him plucking the ball off the ground, which everybody was raving about. Everybody was raving about the ball he plucked off of the ground. And he said it as such, as he feels really good. The foot is a non-issue. He feels healthy. Now, of course, hopefully Lamar can get back here and he and Lamar can start establishing some chemistry, because it just seems like these guys can never get on the field together. You know, it's either Bateman or Lamar. They're not on the field. But him looking like he has, and again, apparently he's been this lightning and someone that has looked really, really good so far through 2 days. But especially yesterday, again, he was the star. And to me, that's really important, because we know the potential is there. We have talked about it forever. And the Ravens are giving him a huge role this year. You know, it is a bit of a risk considering, you know, we haven't really seen the full Rashad Bateman experience in terms of him staying healthy, getting a rhythm, and establishing a role. But this could be that season. Again, he has to stay healthy. That's the most important part here. But again, Bateman, by all accounts, looked incredible yesterday, and I think it's a really good sign moving forward.
Now, the speed of the defense, to me, speed-wise and stuff, other than Clowney, I think the defense is better.
Yeah, and again, I think that it's a bunch of different players. But in my opinion, you know, a guy like Nate Wiggins coming in with his speed, and I know that he had a good day yesterday, but this is a fast defense. They get to the ball, and they close gaps in a hurry. And we can even point to examples from last season where, you know, teams would try to run screens on them. They'd try to run reverse plays and trickeration. And you would see guys like Kyle Hamilton close that gap. And you would see guys like Marlon. And those guys are known as like super physical, which they are, but they also have that, we're going to get from point A to point B, and we're going to stop you. And so you add in Nate Wiggins to that equation and Eddie Jackson and some of those guys. And I do think the speed is really important, because, again, like even a Trenton Simpson, who we know Patrick Queen did have that sideline to sideline, but Trenton Simpson has athleticism. He can get from point A to point B. And we know Zach Orr's philosophy this season is going to be, they're going to play with a bunch of aggression, physicality. And with that does come, you know, a bunch of downhill plays and getting to the ball carrier, getting to the quarterback, stopping guys. So Clowney was a loss. I'm not going to sugarcoat that whatsoever. And you're going to have to rely on a bunch of younger guys in terms of the pass rushing department. We talked about Owe, talked about Ajabo, Tavius Robinson. But to me, this defense still, I mean, you have your core guys. It's Roquan, Justin Madubuike, Hamilton, Marlin, all those guys. And I think that's the important part, where you're just going to have to rely on the youth to step up from a depth and maybe, you know, underrated player perspective. But the core is still there, and that's the most important part to me.
Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Kevin, as we're now 3 days into training camp 2024, what's happening on the Ravens Wire on this Tuesday?
Yeah, continuing to talk about training camp battles, things that John Harbaugh and the rest of the Ravens players have to say. Obviously, he went to bat for Lamar a couple of days ago. So just jumping into those comments and diving into who's looking good and who's not over the course of training camp, and maybe some roster projections, some early roster projections as we get going here, maybe over the next week or so.
Kevin, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday. Talk to you next week.
You too, guys. Enjoy. Talk to you soon.
Yep. Right, Kevin Allstriker, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. It's the Whip Around. Ryan Ripken will be joining us bottom of the hour. Our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, which is this evening, as the Orioles get ready for the Miami Marlins. Ryan and Ken Wyman going to get you ready for that one. Albert Suarez going for win number 6 as the Orioles look to lay waste to a team that has really struggled here in 2024. We're a week away from the trade deadline. A lot of talk about what the Orioles could do, what the Orioles should do. We all know what they should do. What can they do? That remains to be seen.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
The things which creates some tiebreaker confusion, maybe even less so, but 18-game season, what, a two-game preseason, two bye weeks, and then the Super Bowl would be the Sunday before President's Day.
All right, Bob, then what do they do with the Pro Bowl? Get rid of it?
In its current form, I think it might stay, kind of. Because you're still going to have the 2 weeks between championship games and the Super Bowl.
Yeah. TV ratings. Although, if it wasn't for the TV ratings, Bob, it'd be long gone.
People watch it.
I know.
I mean, I was actually more entertained the last 2 years.
Than watching a game.
Than watching the actual Pro Bowl, which in full disclosure, I haven't watched Joe Washington play for the Colts. Baltimore Colts, that is, back after the 1979 season in New York. With the Jets, that is, it seems as though they have nothing but drama. Aaron Rodgers came back wearing, what, a pyramid t-shirt or whatever it was?
It was a cat, an Egyptian cat was on the front of his shirt.
Because he missed mandatory stuff with a pre-planned vacation, which proved to be in Egypt. But let's not forget, this dude's 39 coming back from a season-ending injury 4 plays into the season.
You know what he did say, which made sense, Bob? He said, listen, he says... You know, back, you know, mini camp early on, it was like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 2 practices Friday, 2 Saturday, 1 Sunday, and then you're gone. He said, these are just more OTA practices, and it's just, you know, everybody's there. And he said, I was at the other 10, so what's it really matter?
Yeah, and for the record, and as everyone knows, a year ago at this time, we're talking a lot about Aaron Rodgers. the chatter has been decreased a lot.
Yeah.
But the Jets have other problems. Hassan Reddick, who they traded for from Philly, he ain't posting until he gets a new contract.
I know. It's, we're talking about it off air, Bob. I mean, to me, it's the dumbest thing in the world. You don't trade. You know that the guy doesn't want to go back to Philly because he wants a new deal. That's why they traded him. And if you're trading for him, like the Ravens did with Roquan, you don't. Roquan deal was done 2 weeks at, or I think was 2 weeks, maybe 1 week after he got here. So they knew that they had to pay him. And that's the same thing with the Jets. You know you got to pay the guy. Now he's sitting out of training camp, didn't go to any of the OTAs or minicamp because he wants a new deal. Duh.
Yeah. Speaking of pass rushers, Emmanuel Ogba goes back to Miami after they released him in February, which saved them almost $14 million against the cap. A lot of injuries last 2 years, only 6.5 sacks. But after Shaq Barrett hung up the cleats, he became a necessity, and they chose him over Yanni Ngakoue.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. So they worked them both out. So Anthony Weaver must have liked one, or he's had Ngakoue at the Ravens.
So Ngakoue still looking for work. Former Maryland Terrapin in New England as they're in the rebuild phase post-build. Well, they've been kind of rebuilding the last couple of years, let's be honest. But Gerard Mayo said that Jacoby Brissett is the most pro-ready guy we have at quarterback. So Drake May probably starts the year on the bench. And Brissett came up with New England way back when out of NC State.
And Bob, I don't think it's a bad move at all because you don't want Drake May to, they're not going to be good. So you don't want him getting killed and demoralized like the last one did.
Mac Jones.
Yeah. So I think it's smart. Jacoby Brissett, he's a solid pro.
Yeah, he can navigate you through some wins
and
keep you competitive for sure. It's Vinny at Haney 1057 The Fan. Whip around on this Turn It Up Tuesday. U.S. survives Germany in their last tune-up before the Olympic Games. To me, this is nothing to see here. Please disperse. As LeBron himself, who carried them to victory, by the way, in the final couple minutes. Hey, we need a little comp. They got some comp the last two. Sue Dyan unexpected, 45-point favorites, and you needed them to miss a shot to win the game with Germany. I mean, they got some NBA dudes on that roster. Schroeder was doing his thing. But I think once the games begin for real with the gold medal dangling at the end, you'll see USA. USA.
Well, do you think they cut the roster down, Bob?
Well, Durant hasn't played.
Right.
Well, Kawhi Leonard already split because I guess he's not fit enough health-wise. I don't know, man. Durant doesn't seem as though they're looking to get rid of him, but
no, they said it. Kerr said they're not. But I mean, like, they have, like, the second unit would come in with Davis and all the guys, you know, not the starting guys with LeBron and them. And so I don't know. Do you just pick eight and go, or do you go?
Yeah, you keep your full complement because winning a gold medal is a pretty impressive accomplishment to put on your resume there. But speaking of basketball, news came out yesterday. It looked as though things were dire with TNT in the NBA continuing relationship that has brought us this over the years.
Don't you want to weigh in on this?
No, I don't want to weigh in.
No. Don't do it. Don't do it, Shaq. Yeah,
you know, though. I'm telling you.
Sensitive.
No, I ain't sensitive. I'm going to knock your ass out. I'm telling you right now. You play me if you want to. Do it again, Chuck.
Oh, man. Kitty, why don't you go ahead and say what you want to say?
Go ahead. I'm going to throw this, you think it's fun, I'm going to throw this metal damn can at your ass.
Oh, man.
Well, all that that stuff that Shaq uses to rub all over himself didn't help that thin skin because Shaquille O'Neal gets testy when Charles Barkley kind of calls him out. But Warner Brothers Discover matched the $1.8 billion Amazon Prime offer to the NBA to keep the Thursday package, and then they'll stream others on Max. But it looks as though, I was reading something in New York Post, that there could be some lawsuits forthcoming here as Amazon Prime wanted to get into the NBA game. And look, that show with Ernie Johnson, Kenny Smith, and obviously Shaq Attack and Charles Barkley, is the best pregame show in the history of sports television, with all due respect to Brent, Irv, and Phyllis and the Greek, going back to the original NFL Today and everything that's going on now. That show is great, oftentimes better than the game itself. And when the game sucks, they'll raggle in the game at halftime and after it. So it looks as though it's going to stick around, but we shall see. There could be some litigation in order here. This day in Orioles history, it's July 23rd, 1983. In Oakland, world champions-to-be, Eddie Murray, Cal Ripken both go yard. Jim Dwyer drove in two. Storm Davis, a complete game for his ninth win, 7-3 Orioles. 1997 in Texas, Jeff Rabelais, base hit in the 12th, scores Geronimo Baroa. Rafael Palmeiro went deep against his former team, off Bobby Witt Sr., by the way. Randy Myers gets the win, his second of the year. He was brilliant, by the way, in 97, if you're not old enough to remember that. 2016, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Trumbaum and Pedro Alvarez went deep. Kevin Gausman, 7 shutout innings. Zach Britton picks up his 32nd save. Orioles beat the Indians, as they were called at that time, 5-2. And then a year ago today at the drop, as the Orioles are breathing down Tampa's necks, Gunnar Henderson, Ryan O'Hearn both go deep. Mike Bauman gets the win in relief of Tyler Wells, his 7th of the year, now in San Francisco. Felix Bautista, unfortunately no longer part of the equation because of an elbow injury, picked up his 28th win. Orioles 5-3 a year ago today at the drop. Orioles in Miami taking on the Marlins tonight. We got that and more talk coming your way with our buddy Ryan Ripken here on The Fan. Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan, turning up Tuesday. A little Grant Funk, if I'm not mistaken, right? A little American band coming your way. Chosen by you, the people. Bob Eddie, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Orioles at Miami, taking on the Marlins. Start of a three-game set. Baltimore baseball tonight coming up. You guessed it, tonight. Brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, Ken Wyman. And our next guest, he's our colleague. He's your friend. And why wouldn't he be? He's Ryan Ripken. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning. We get the band back together here. Almost you and I, Bob. I guess we got that on Friday, right?
I will see you at Pickles Pub when the Padres come to town. And Manny and Jackson Merrill, who apparently grew up a Red Sox fan. Again, you know, we won't have that against him. But we're not here to talk about misguided fandom, Ryan Ripken. We're here to talk about some crazy trade rumors. Or let's not even rumors, hypotheticals. And Joel Sherman had one where the Orioles trade Holiday and Kerstad to Detroit for Scooble and their closer there. And then the other one, Mark DeRosa, hypothetical. These aren't trade rumors, just hypotheticals, what it would take to pry from Detroit. Scooble by himself for Basayo. What was it? Kerstad and Norby. Mm-hmm. So, Ryan Ripken, this is crazy talk. You've been around baseball many times. You've been traded yourself before. Where does all of this hypothetical intel come from?
Oh, goodness. There's so much that, I guess, goes in. And honestly, I've sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire. But at the same time, there's a lot of things that can get pushed out there, right? Sorry, I'm changing the phone here. But it can get pushed out here, right? Even what the front office wants things to be pushed out. I think right now what you're looking at for prospects, and if you're looking at packages, when I hear Jackson Holliday and how high of a prospect he is, and this is the part with the Orioles, which it's a great problem, but when they're competing against other packages around baseball, their prospects are just specifically a lot higher than a lot of other players. So when you're looking at Jackson Holliday and Heston Kerstad, who I think he just graduated from the prospect list, but you're looking at one of the, arguably, depending on your list, the number one or two overall prospect in Jackson and Heston. These are guys that could be multiple all-stars, and I think that's the hard part to decipher. To be honest, guys, I just don't see a move really getting done unless Basayo or Mayo is involved. I can't stomach trading Jackson. I can't do that right now, and that's where it stands. But make no mistake, you get Scooble, whoever would be able to get him, you're easily the top team to be represented and favored going to the World Series.
What about Garrett Crochet? And Scooble had finger surgery or hand surgery a couple years ago. Crochet already had Tommy John. Innings cap. Yes, he's an all-star, highly regarded prospect, first-round pick coming out of Tennessee. I'm guessing a package to acquire him would be a little less than what the Orioles would have to give up to get Skubal. But, Ryan, if Crochet becomes part of the Orioles' reality in 24, where does he fit in given the fact that this is his first year as a starting pitcher?
Yeah, and to finish the part with Skubal here, you're also trading for arguably the best pitcher in baseball right now. Like, that's the other part of it. So if you're the Tigers, you want to make sure that you're getting exactly what you want and then some, because that's where he is. Now, for Garrett Crochet, look, talented player, love his upside for the future, but you just mentioned the innings. I think if he gets traded, he's not a starter in Baltimore. He's going to be a bullpen guy where you're essentially just trying to save the bullets. How much can you use him? And I just think that that's the plan for Crochet. You're not counting on him to be a starter in 24. You're counting on him to help out of the bullpen, whatever that may look like, and then look for him to start in 25 and 26. Again, the injury history. But, yeah, I think if they did that, they would look for a package. I think the Orioles in general are looking to see if they can package with some teams, right? So in this case, for the White Sox, is there another reliever? I know people throw out the name Michael Kopech, but, you know, what would it cost to get another guy under team control like Eric Fetty? And I know that's not the sexy pick, but going into his start yesterday, Bob, he had an under 3 ERA, and people still aren't excited about that. I think in general, people need to look at not what the sexy, awesome splash player is. We're looking, who is this year's Jordan Montgomery? That's what I've been saying the last week. Which player in this trade deadline is the 2024 version of last year's Jordan Montgomery? If you can find that, the Orioles are going to have a lot of success, but they do need to find, I think they're going to need at least three or four players between relief and maybe a starter or two to kind of give them a good chance to bolster that depth and make a run.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Fetty signed through next year as well. Ryan, yep. Ripken joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking about the Orioles' first place best record in the American League a week from the trade deadline. Before we talk about the series with the Marlins, and by the way, if Lizardo was healthy, we'd be talking about him, I'm sure, a lot
right.
as well. But what about, you know, we talk about prospects going in trades. What about a Mountie or a Hayes or a Mullins all signed through next year, possibly being incorporated into a mix of young veteran prospect sort of trade talk?
Yeah, and, you know, I've actually, you know, I guess there was a rumor floating out there. Jim Bowden might have said that, you know, the Phillies were interested in Cedric Mullins, and you kind of look at, for your veterans that they have, you know, what is the value that you're going to get for veterans? Are you getting more prospects, or is it going to be a type of, you know, productive arm that you're hoping for, right? I don't see Cedric getting traded. I don't see Ryan Mountcastle getting traded. Hayes is this interesting one for me where the value, because he just got off to such a slow start, and with the injuries, plural, and being sick, it just felt like he was always facing the uphill battle, but he started to get going. And if the Orioles feel like he's not going to be in their long-term plans, that to me is a guy that Hayes can go and play at a very high level in a team that would be very interested in that space. And that, obviously, that would change the Orioles or, you know, uncrowd slightly the outfield room. But I just have a tough time with them trading away kind of veteran guys when one thing that they have been lacking recently is that kind of leadership veteran presence on their team. They have James McCann, but you saw how valuable a guy like Kyle Gibson was. And now guys like Austin Hayes and Cedric Mullins are some of these older veteran leadership guys, whether people want to admit that or not. So I think it's possible. But I just think for like guys like Mountie and Ced, I just don't see them leaving under kind of any circumstance.
Hey, Ryan, if we were a Detroit radio station, how would you mm-hmm. like that deal? Would you like to be, you know, from trading away your all-star pitcher, like you said, best pitcher in baseball right now, for two AAA guys, of course, high-quality guys, high-ranked guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, and that's the part right there is that you got to feel really confident that you can get plural players that have the potential to be multi-year all-stars, right? So if you're looking at that, Jackson Holiday is one of those guys you consider. Kobe Mayo, Sam Bisaio. And without feeling like you have potential two, maybe three big league players that are going to be, you know, solid to all-star type talents for your team, then I don't think that it's going to be worth trading Scooble right now, because they don't need to trade him if you're Detroit, right? You don't need to trade him at this moment. Now, in the offseason, just like we saw with Corbin Burns, a team could come in and make a pretty good deal. But if I'm Detroit, I am not settling for whatever my bar is. I need to get this parameter. And for me, if I'm Detroit, I need two potential all-stars that I think can ascend. And it's not the one thing I'll make the comparison here, but it's not the same thing, because Juan Soto being a hitter in the prime where he's going to be one of the best players for the next 10 years, we don't know the shelf life for pitchers. At this case, even though Scooble's under team control and he's at the top of his game, arm injuries we know. But the Padres still gave up 5-6 prospects, but look who they got. James Wood is going to be a star, and C.J. Abrams already is. So for the Tigers, you need at least two guys that you think in a deal that can end up being cornerstone pieces to help turn their franchise around.
Ryan Ripken, Baltimore Baseball Tonight. He and Ken Wyman, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, coming up this evening. Real quick, Ryan Ripken, would you be cool with a touching reunion with Tanner Scott, all-star closer for the Miami Marlins this year?
Absolutely. You know what I mean? I actually just saw that the Yankees were interested in bringing back Chad Green. There is something about familiarity with players that have left and come back. So I like it. I think that Tanner's kind of found himself this year. I think people still have to live with the fact that he can be a little bit erratic, but his stuff is always electric. He seems to have found that groove down there. And yeah, I think that the Orioles could use an arm like him, and it would be a cool story, right? So I think that's definitely in play, that they are looking to bring in a guy. Why not Tanner Scott?
Ryan Ripken, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. He and Ken Wyman coming up later on this evening. I will see you Friday down at Pickles, Ryan.
Sounds great. Appreciate you guys. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.
Ryan. There he is, Ryan Ripken, everybody. We'll come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. News from the Nets coming up at noon. Buy or sell. Where's the Tuesday money? Hopefully we're counting that. And that Christina DiNicola, I get that right, from MLB.com. She'll talk about the Marlins. They're 30 games under 500, but there has to be reasons. If you look at their injured list, you'll see in the rotation they've been decimated. News from the Nets coming up top of the hour. Going to hear from John Harbaugh, Eddie Jackson. About a little Adape Owe under a microscope here. Entering year 4, believe it or not, of his NFL career. Got buy or sell. Let's count that dough. Hopefully at 12:15. And that Christina DiNicola covers the Miami Marlins for MLB.com. Talk about what has gone wrong there. I believe Schumacher's the manager, and they're already talking about him going somewhere else after they made the playoffs last year.
Wow.
But now it's 30 games under 500. Don't want to get too carried away, because I don't want to repeat, Nolan, what I said a couple weeks ago when the Cubs were in town. First place Orioles, last place Cubs. What could go wrong?
Right.
They got swept.
Yeah.
Everything went wrong. And they got blown out in the last game, which was the worst of all of them. So I'm not jumping to any sort of conclusions here. But let's bring in Nolan McGraw. Quick draw, first of all. Hello. Good afternoon. Good morning. What are your take on all this hypothetical trade talk with some fancy names involved with the Orioles here?
Well, I found it funny, and I like you brought up the two that we've talked about on the show, but you know, the one earlier in the show was sort of a package deal, two for two, and we even said that, okay, maybe Detroit would ask for more. Then we get, what was it, Mark DeRosa, a different opinion. It's completely different, saying one for three. And of those three that the Orioles are sending back for Scooble, two of them were among that group of elites, Jackson Holiday and Kobe Mayo. So I just two wildly different hypotheticals there. Again, not grounded in any sort of fact, just speculation and conversation starters. But I think it just goes to show that nobody really knows until it actually gets done.
Here is ESPN and our man here. Jeff Passan. I just fast forwarded through it. Sorry about that, everybody. He's got the Orioles adding and subtracting. Probably didn't expect to see the team that owns the best record in the American League. Orioles aren't in the previous tiers of definitely adding, definitely selling, because their organizational approach and variety of discussions don't align with such a designation, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, Baltimore wants to complement its roster, and yes, the Orioles, more than any team, have a young, controllable position player depth to do so. They could get Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert if they wanted to do so, but he sees them being more patient than making a blockbuster. And they land here due to their willingness to discuss moving Mountcastle or Cedric Mullins, which then opens opportunities for Mayo and Jackson Holliday. And if they get Luis Robert, he fits into the equation. Possibilities for Baltimore are endless as to what they'll do in the next week.
My gut tells me, Bob, it's not going to be a blockbuster. It's going to be more, you know, kind of what they've done in the past.
I would be floored.
So would I.
If they traded for Tarik Skubal.
Yeah.
Crochet, maybe not so much, because Chicago, like, oh, whatever. You know what I mean? We can make a haul for a guy that's, you know, first year as a starter. He's an all-star. We might as well strike while the iron's hot. Luis Robert's got pop, but he's played 100 games, what, once in his career? Skubal pitching for the Orioles in the second half of the season. I'd be happily stunned.
Now, the veteran aspect there is interesting because sometimes we get so fixated on the prospects, and that anytime you're, you know, buying somebody at the trade deadline, you have to send prospects to get it. But the reports there that, you know, teams may be interested in a Mullins or a Mountcastle, that almost could be a win-win for the Orioles. I mean, I'd love to keep Ryan Mountcastle. I've stumped in the past for him to get an extension by the Orioles. But, I mean, if you can acquire pitching help without giving up any of your magic beans, as we like to call them, wouldn't that be a win-win for the Orioles?
I would think so. Kobe Mayo's, he's, what more does he have to do mm-hmm. at the minor league level? He's come back already from an injury, fractured rib, and just took off from there. Third baseman by trade. Mountcastle's a gold glove caliber first baseman. I guess O'Hearn could fill in nicely there. Defensively, Arias has played first base, assuming he's still around. I mean, like Passan said, possibilities are endless. I don't know if I want Mayo playing first base, or Kerstad for that matter, in August and September when you're trying to win your division, given the premium the Orioles place on defense.
I want Stowers to get traded. I feel bad for him.
He probably feels bad. Joey Ortiz is like, it's glorious yeah. over here playing every day. This is pretty awesome. It's Vinny at 81057, the fan. Time for Funhouse. You won't wait.
We'll do a quick one.
Let's do a quick.
Quick draws, Funhouse.
This start thing's awesome.
Yeah.
The rudest, tunest text too. Reader.
Oh, the fastest gun alive.
This yeah, side of the chess.
I have my own locker.
105.7 The Fan.
This first one here, Texter says, the Orioles have built up and developed a lot of good outfielders, re-signing older ones, or guys that are currently veterans on the roster, for more expensive prices makes no sense unless they somehow have lost faith in their prospects, which is not the case.
Is this a reference to old Tony Taters or Hayes and Mullins?
Mullins, any of them, really.
Yeah. I'd keep Santander the rest. I'm open for business. Mm. Let's not forget they just drafted an outfielder in the first round. They drafted one last year. They've got Dylan Beavers and others coming up through the ranks. The shortage of outfielders is no longer there. They've got a ton, but you've got proven commodities. But we talk about as leadership. Hey, look, Cedric Mullins has played in as many playoff games as Gunnar Henderson has. It's not like these guys were part of the last Orioles dynasty. They're very, very few playoff-worthy dudes that came up through the ranks because the Orioles sucked for many years, unfortunately.
And we've heard the reported interest, Mullins' name thrown out there in particular, but what's his value right now? I mean, it's been well over a year since he's had some long-term consistency. So, I don't know. I mean, him alone is not going to get you anything.
No, but he's got to be part of a package. But sure. If Philly's interested, what's Philly giving you that's going to help the Orioles in the second half of the season, other than, say, like a single-A or double-A prospect or something for down the road? And you're just clearing space for somebody else. And Hayes has, what, 3 home runs?
Right.
Come on, dude. Hazy.
Jimmy in Pasadena here checking in says, Skubal, multiple Tommy John surgeries already. People want to give up the farm for him, extend him as well. For me, it's a hard pass because of the injury history.
I don't think Scoobles had Tommy John.
He's had multiple injuries, though, right?
He had the flexor tendon in his finger, which shut him down at the end of 22. Crochet's had Tommy John. I could be wrong. I'm not a doctor. But Scoobles, what? Relatively young?
25, isn't he?
He did it a while ago, 2017.
Okay. And then he had hand surgery, I think it was, in 22. Right? Does that sound about right?
The more recent one, yes.
Okay. But, you know, it doesn't look like he's laboring at all. But that's the risk you run, everybody, when you bring in pitchers with the high velo, what do they call it, maximum effort, and all of this stuff.
Yeah, if anything.
We in or we out.
If anything, the guys that haven't had it yet, I'm more worried about them. I mean, you can obviously have it twice. We've seen plenty of guys of, you know, John Means, case in point.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the hard-throwing guys that haven't gone through it yet, they're like a ticking time bomb.
Come on, man.
I think I read where most Tommy Johns happen now between ages 15 and 19.
That's insane.
Really? Yeah, that's... They don't even know who Tommy John is. Or what it is, quite frankly. It's been at 80-105-7. The Fan. We'll come back. News from the Nest. Good to hear from John Harbaugh. Adape Owe. Talk about a guy that needs to take it to another level or two. It is Adape Owe. He's got 13 sacks for his career. How about he gets double digits this season alone? Can he get it done? Buy or sell? Where's the money? We'll count it at 12:15.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.